Right, well, I said I wasn't going to speak, but because we've got this time spare, I've scribbled a few notes. Last year, I stood here, and I talked about people arguing amongst themselves in various communities, and I said that I didn't see that if you didn't like somebody was a good reason to not work with them. I think that we're a very wide range of people. We come from a very wide range of backgrounds and a very wide range of motivations. Some people are more motivated by the medical side of it, some people by the environmental side of it, some people by the ecological side of it, the economic side of it, some people by the harm reduction side of it. I personally, my feelings are that the law against the possession and cultivation of cannabis and the punishment of people for doing that, if those people are harming nobody, and if those people do not have victims to their crimes, if the victims can't be in court, if a person is selling cannabis and there's no victims, then presumably the people are quite happy with it. My concern is that the law is unjust. It's simply unjust, and we must rid ourselves of unjust laws. They do no good. They do a great deal of harm. They harm the people who simply want to sit at home and smoke a joint quietly and living in fear of being busted. Possibly if they're growing a few plants, they might go to court, they might be accused of supplying cannabis. Often in these cases there's no real hard evidence because they don't know the customers because there's no victims. But the quantity itself is taken as enough reason to bust them and even send them to jail. Their families suffer, their children suffer, they lose their jobs, they lose their businesses, they lose their houses and so on. And these are people who stand up and say, I like this stuff, it does me good. Right? Also, there's a few people, a few people who suffer bad consequences from cannabis. Not just from soap, not just from tobacco, but from cannabis itself. Maybe they smoke too much of it. Maybe it's something in their background that makes them susceptible to problems. You know, this is still under debate. There's one section of society that says this is happening to people, that people are suffering. And there's one section of society that say, no, it's nothing to do with cannabis. Cannabis just happens to be there. You know, either way, we don't know. But one thing that I am totally sure of is the law isn't helping these people at all. If somebody does get ill, whether it be from alcohol, tobacco, cannabis, influenza or anything else, you know, we don't send the police in, you know, for those people. We shouldn't send the police in for those people. We should make the doctors and the psychiatrists and everybody available to help those people. The law doesn't do any good. All I can see, I can't think of any way whatsoever that prosecuting somebody for this plant, for simply possession, cultivation, use, supply, so on, I can't see that prosecuting for that does any good to anyone except the criminal justice system, or the criminal injustice system that I like to call it. They get paid. You know, I, you, somebody, we go to court, we don't get paid. Guilty or not guilty, we don't get paid. They get paid. The lawyer gets paid, the magistrates get paid, the usher gets paid, the solicitor gets paid, the barrister gets paid, the judge gets paid, and at the end of the day, you go into court and you say, in magistrates court, guilty, you get fined £20, fined £50, it's cost £2,500 to take you there. And that's not even counting the police wages. And if you go to Crown Court and you want to argue in Crown Court, it can cost £5,000 just to appear in Crown Court and up to £1,000,000 for a long trial. And this is public money. It's great, isn't it? It's coming out of taxation. People are moaning about taxation. And instead of feeding people with the taxes, instead of educating people with the taxes, instead of healing people and housing people with the taxes, They're taking them to court and earning vast sums of money out of it. That's what makes me angry. That's the issue that brought me into the campaign. So I was talking about arguing. You know, we can argue about what the most important aspect of legalisation is, or what the worst aspect of prohibition is. We can argue about whether we should have invaded Iraq. We can argue about whether prostitution should be legal or heroin should be legal. We can argue about lots of things. The point is that arguing amongst ourselves on those things isn't really going to get us anywhere. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about it, but we shouldn't let it divide us. We need to come together. We need to pull together. There is such a huge talent in the LCA. We've got 2,500 people have endorsed our policies. There is solicitors. There's a doctor. There's educated people. There's people who are streetwise. There's people who have travelled. There's people who have written books. There's people who maybe aren't academic, but they know what they're talking about. There's such a lot of talent. Somebody once said to me, he came to a conference, he said, I wish I could stand up there and talk in front of everybody. And I said, well, what's wrong with you then? What's your problem? I'm shy. Well, I'm shy too, you know. I just managed to ignore it somehow, you know. Every one person here should be, you know, have the confidence in themselves, because Oz will tell you this as well. We are telling the truth. What we are saying is correct. It is right. There's no sensible argument. We've been to the politicians. We're talking. I wanted to say about the single issue. I just wanted to say that the candidates, when they're at the hustings, when our candidates are up there answering questions, and the question comes about the street lighting, or the question comes about something that, you know, isn't part of LCA policy, I personally would welcome it if the candidates just say what they feel on those issues. The public isn't sitting there waiting for facts and figures and statistics. Statistics can be warped. Yeah, statistics can be misunderstood. There was one in Birmingham where they worked out that out of so many married couples, a certain percentage of them needed marriage guidance counsel. So they set up all these marriage guidance council places in this part of Birmingham, which is mostly occupied by Islamic people who don't go to marriage guidance councils. So the other end of the city, where there's crowds lining up at the door waiting to get in, this side of the city, there's nobody there. The staff are sitting there because statistics said they needed a marriage guidance council. Statistics can be warped. The public know that. They want to know how you feel, how you think. And I just believe, you know, if you talk from your heart and you say what you feel, then that'll strike a chord. And yeah, maybe it won't win you votes. Maybe it won't get you elected. Maybe you won't get your deposit back. But people will listen. And as somebody said earlier about the lady with the blue rosette, when I stood for election last time, people came up afterwards and they said, you're talking sense. Even one of the other candidates, I was on the stage with him, he was opposing me. He stood up and he said, Alan's talking a lot of sense. You know, and I was just talking, you know, from my heart. And it might not win votes, but it wins arguments. It makes people see that we're not politicians. We don't look like politicians. We're not trained like politicians. We don't have people write our speeches. Most politicians are lawyers. Lawyers. What did I say? Like most of them. Tony Blair, he's a lawyer, you know. Charles Clark, the same. All of them, they're trained. They're trained to get up there and try to sell to the public ideas that the public would find a little bit difficult to swallow. Like, for instance, spending all money bombing Iraq, you know, and then complaining they haven't got any money. Right, so let's say Iraq's got weapons of mass destruction. Then that justifies it. Almost a lot of these politicians, Charles Clark. Now, Charles Clark is the Home Secretary. Charles Clark was imported into Norwich South in 1997, which was coincidentally the first time the LCA stood and Howard Marks was our candidate. And Charles Clark, rather than talk about cannabis at that time, decided to write it off by saying Howard Marks is a self-publicist. And I thought, well, Charles Clark isn't. The politicians, they talk too long, right? Politicians, they talk, as they say, with forked tongues, and they close their ears, right? We don't do that. I don't think we'll ever do that. You know, we want to listen to people. But if we are elected, we want to listen to the people who elected us. If people have problems, if people have questions, if somebody comes along with a question about cannabis, you know, we don't say, oh, that's just self-publicity of somebody, you know, some prohibitionist wants to publicise themselves. We try to answer the question. And we will talk, and we won't shut up. As Chris said, some of us will fight to the end. So the election's coming up. We've probably got about 20 to 30 candidates in the country, including seven in Wales, and hopefully a TV and radio and internet party political broadcast, which will be sort of heard by literally millions and millions of people. We're not there yet. We're not a big party. We don't have loads of money. You know, we have to suss out who's the expert, who can we get in. The BBC, they say, oh, you have to use such and such a type of camera, it costs money. The deposit, it costs money. The editing and the final production, it costs money. So we're nowhere near the end of the game, and we're in months where we will be after the election. And I hate to sit down there and say, I got stoned and I missed it. We need money, £2,000, right? During the course of the day, there's probably going to be close to 80 to 100 people coming here. Right. Can anybody raise £2,000? Can anybody raise 20 quid?
Yeah.
Right. Can anybody not raise 20 quid? One, two. Right. Two. Right. So that's one, two, three. So can I expect £1,400 in for the next week or so? Please, you know, because it's not hard, really, to, you know, I know it's very difficult for some people, but for most of us, it's not hard to say to your friend, right, will you give me a fiver if I shave my head? You know, will you give me a fiver if I, you know, run around with a cannabis leaf and nothing else? I mean, sponsorship, gigs, raffles, walks, stunts. You know, it's only a matter of doing it, or writing on a piece of paper that I'm going to do this, put it in the drawer, and forget about it till next year. There's only two things: we either do it or we don't do it. We come back after the election, we either did it or we didn't do it. We either had the candidates, we had the broadcast, or we didn't. We can't blame anybody else except ourselves, and we can't give credit to anybody else except ourselves. I just want to say about Charles Clark. Yeah. Like he said, Howard Marks is a self-publicist. Right. I just want to make it clear that when I wrote to Charles Clark, because I was the person who wrote to Charles Clark, I didn't ask him to come and listen to us. I didn't ask him to debate with us. I didn't ask him to come to the Cannabis Alliance conference. I didn't ask him to answer questions. Right. I asked him to come along and explain to us how the government justifies punishing people for possession or cultivation of cannabis if nobody's being hurt. I asked him to come and justify the government's stance. And his reply was, oh, I thought I replied. I thought I replied to that letter. Oh, I must have forgotten. Oh, I wouldn't have gone anyway, because I haven't got the time. You know? Oh, I don't respect those people. I don't respect this alliance. I don't respect their policies. Policies which, incidentally, Dr. Ian Gibson, the other side of Norwich, respects, another Labour MP, right? And writes us letters of support. Charles Clark doesn't respect that. Not only is he not willing to listen to us, he's not even willing to talk to us. Right? And he's the Home Secretary, and he's in Norwich South, and we've got what I think is going to be a superb person to stand up against him, who ain't going to take no bullshit, Don Barnard. Like, Don knows his stuff. Now, just one other thing quickly, because we are getting to the limit of time, is about our getting publicity, right? One of the best ways to get publicity is letters in the press. If you work out a small letter in the press, how much that would cost to put that in as an advert, you know, it would break the bank. In Norwich, after Charles Clark said his little bit, we had about 12 letters in the press. And a very, very strong letter yesterday from Jeremy Crisp, who's at the back there. And it was a superb letter. And it brought the whole issue, you know, into perspective, really. Now, that letter and the other letters, they go out on the internet. If you're on the internet, you can read those letters and you can reply to those letters. And it doesn't matter if you write a letter every week. Eventually you might get one published. It doesn't matter if somebody else gets published and you think, I was going to say that. Write to a newspaper and say, I was going to say that. It doesn't matter if you can't come up with more than two lines. They like little lines, you know. The letters they like are short and concise, and letters that attract readership to write in other letters. So please, if you write in the other letters, they'll keep publishing the letters. And we'll get our message out there without having to raise £200,000. Then quickly, our enemies. You know, the government is obviously at the moment it's our enemy. They claim basically that the main reason to not legalise cannabis is because use will go up, and because it's a dangerous drug, harm will go up. Neglecting to sort of remind us that 90% of people, or 95% of people, whatever, a huge majority of people benefit from cannabis and a minority suffer. So if use goes up, that means that extra people who use it, presumably most will benefit, some will suffer. The other consequence, if cannabis use goes up, maybe alcohol and hard drugs and pills from the doctor and stuff like that, and all the damage that causes, will go down. So it's not a question of saying legalise cannabis and everything's bright from now on, but we can say it's going to get brighter. It's going to start getting better. Our other enemy is drug dealers, right? Because, you know, if a drug dealer is doing it for money, he's not going to want his drug legalised so that people can get hold of it cheaper, better quality, and his profits have been removed. If the drug dealers were on our side, as some people suggest, we're an organisation of drug dealers, we're an organisation of cannabis dealers, if that's true, why haven't we got any bloody money? Then there's the press. There's a lot of the press that resist us and they want to make mountains out of molehills. If a person has a joint and crashes a car, they want to put that in the headlines, you know. And again, you know, people worry about people driving on cannabis. Well, if 5 to 6 million people are using cannabis, there's probably a couple of million driving, you know. They have accidents. Some people have accidents. People, another statistic, right? 35% of people who had road accidents had cannabis in their system, right? So that suggests that's a bad thing, right? They don't remind us straight away that out of those, 90% also had alcohol. Statistically, 65% of people driving on the road today don't and having accidents don't have cannabis in them. So that sounds bad too. You know, it's a meaningless statistic. And the newspapers like them in their articles. And our next enemy is the criminal justice system, which I said about all these people getting paid. And our other enemy is apathy. You know, apathy amongst the voter. What's the point of voting for an LCA candidate? He's not going to get elected. Nobody's going to listen. It's a wasted vote. I won't bother voting at all. Because it's all a wasted vote. I must admit, I was 42 before I ever voted. But it wasn't because I didn't care. It's because I couldn't see anybody there to vote for. They didn't seem to represent my interests. And when we come to 1991, 1992, people getting busted, and we had Tony Banks, I think, was the only MP at the time who was like pro-legalisation. The issue wasn't raised in Parliament. It didn't appear in the press very much. This went on. So we decided, in Norwich, a group of people formed an organisation called the CLCIA, Campaign to Legalise Cannabis, and we decided we'd put a candidate for election and try to bring it into the arena, and that's what we did. And since then, the issue has come alive. And as Chris said, there's many parties out there with lots of issues and lots of policies, and some of them include legalising cannabis. The Lib Dems, by the way, they want to legalise possession. They don't want to legalise supply until they have a Royal Commission. The Green Party, they also want a Royal Commission. So if they get into power, we can hope that we'll see some sort of legalisation with supply in the future, but it's not guaranteed. We formed the LCA because there was a gap to fill, because we felt strongly about this, and we still do. So I say to candidates, answer the questions, fight on the policies you want to fight on, but amongst ourselves, don't let it distract us from the cause. And act soon. Since the last time we were here, 16, 17 months ago, Chris and a few people have been in prison. That's great, isn't it? There's a couple of people have died. There's a lot of people have suffered. This is happening on a daily basis. And we're the ones to move forwards, move together, pull everything out at this time. We've only got a couple of months before the election. After that, have a holiday, sit back. But now, please, go home. When you go to your communities, go home, get them to pull their fingers out, shake the jar, shake the tin, and let's get this sorted. So, have a nice lunch. It's across the road. When we get back, we've got the candidates, some of them on the hot seat. So if you have a question, please write it down and hand it in. Questions to the candidates on LCA policy, on them, on why they're standing, so on. Write it down. We've got time for a couple of dozen questions. Thanks a lot.
I'm done.